Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. today. Now it's open lines. And what we began yesterday, talking about public schools, we continue in this last hour of the program. I invite your questions and your comments. For those of you who didn't hear the hour or heard only a part of the hour yesterday, in just a moment I will fill you in on where the conversation has been and where it is going. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Before we get started with our conversation and continue it on public schools, let me tell you about this Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. It's held every summer at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin, up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. This summer, June the 26th through July the 2nd. If you were to attend this summer, you would have the opportunity to hear at least three regular guests here on Issues Etc. in person teaching at length on subjects pertaining to their expertise. One, Dr. Gene Edward Veith, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, who's with us just very recently, and Dr. Angus Manouge. And that's only three of the speakers at the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar in Trago, Wisconsin this summer, June the 26th through the July the 2nd. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, if you scroll down just a little bit, you're going to find the Schwann Center logo. Click on it, and you'll get more information on prices and housing. And it's really a bargain. It's amazing how they do this. Or you can call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. 1-800-577-4848. I've been the last 2 years, once as a speaker, once broadcasting live from the Schwann Center. This year I'd be there, but there's a conflict in my schedule. But you will be able to meet Dr. Gene Edward Veith, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Dr. Alvin Schmidt. 1-800-577-4848. Ask about the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Okay, it's open lines for your questions and your comments. This is a continuation of what started yesterday. I asked this question, have I done the right thing? I'm not trying to appease my conscience. What I am trying to do is engage in some thoughtful conversation. I gotta say, though, I am, by and large, very impressed with our audience and with our listeners on this subject. When I raise the question, have I done the right thing in allowing my daughter to go to public school? And I'll tell you my story and how my preconceived notions about public schools has really changed radically. Now, I cannot speak for every public school. There are bad ones. There are good ones. But folks, I found a good one. I cannot fault it for not being a Christian school because it doesn't pretend to be a Christian school. It is a public school. There's no two ways about it. But this experience has in many ways dispelled a lot of the things that I believed, firmly believed, and repeated at length, sometimes even on these airwaves, about public schools. Here's my story. I am the product of Lutheran schools. From the very beginning to the very end, as far as a person can go, with the exception of, say, maybe a PhD, as far as someone can go in Lutheran schools, I have gone. All the way through the master's degree program and the master's of divinity. So that means, what, 6 years of grade school, 2 years of middle school, 4 years of high school, all Lutheran schools, 4 years of college, 4 years of seminary, plus a couple extra years of postgraduate work at the seminary. I am the product of Lutheran education. And I am proud of that, and I remain proud of that. But along with that came a certain, built up over the years, a certain number of beliefs about the public school system. Now, when I was a kid, my dad used to threaten, he did on one occasion, and I talked about it yesterday, leaving me practically in stitches. I'm not talking about stitches in the term, in witty terms, but in terms of nervous stitches. When my grades began to slide a little bit in junior high, he said, bring these grades up or we're sending you to public school. And the picture in my mind was kind of the typical picture I think a lot of Christians have about public school. Just about the worst place you could want to be. I pictured violence, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. I pictured, now some of those actually appealed to me when I was 13 years old, but by and large, I pictured myself getting mugged in the halls. I pictured myself with teachers that didn't care. I pictured myself getting a substandard education that would leave me ill-equipped to be a citizen in the world and pretty much ruining my life. Now, I don't know if my dad was serious about sending me to public school, but I do remember him saying, we are paying too much for you to go to a Lutheran school for you to be squandering it with these poor grades. Shape up or you'll go to public school. And I shaped up. Why? because of what I believed about public school. And those beliefs really have, for the most part, for the rest of, what, the next 30-some-odd years, are the beliefs that I held about public school. Until a couple months ago. When at long last, after many, many requests, I decided that I would allow my 13-year-old daughter to attend the public school, the public junior high, in the town where we live over in Illinois. And I had every fear that had been instilled in me from decades of believing what I believed about public schools. I had every caution that those beliefs instilled in me. And I must say that after a couple months, being very wary and very cautious about the whole decision, most of those beliefs have vanished. Not about all public schools. I still understand that there are the horror stories to be told, and some of them are actually true. And I started to wonder to myself, have I found the public school for my daughter that is the exception that proves the rule? That all others are what I always imagined public schools to be, but this one just happens to be kind of a shining example of all those things being untrue? Now I ask you, as I asked our listeners yesterday, have I done the right thing in sending my daughter to public school? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Your thoughts on Christians sending their kids to public schools, and I know that there are still more of you out there who want to get in on the conversation. We left a few people hanging on the line because of time restraints yesterday. Call now, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And here in the course of the conversation, as time permits, I did get an email. Well, I got email from a lot of people on this subject, both good and bad, but I got an email from someone, I believe in Maryland, who listens, Lori, and she has some very thoughtful concerns. I want to share them in the course of this hour as well. Very thoughtful concerns. She says, what an appropriate topic for us as we make this major decision next year. They have kids who are in public schools and have been since kindergarten. They're finishing up the first and the fourth grades. But now they have at their disposal a Lutheran school, as well as, she says, top-notch public schools. And apparently they're at this point of making up their mind what to do with the kids. And here she will list some concerns. I'll share them with you in the course of this hour. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That's our call-in number during open lines, issues, etc. Did I make a mistake? Did I make a mistake? That's the big question. Someone, you had it, Wilkin. You had both kids in a parochial school. And then what are you doing pulling one of them out to put them in a public school? And now you tell us that many of the things you believed about public schools have been proven false, at least in this case. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We also have an in-studio email address. Feel free to use it. issues@kfuo.org. issues@kfuo.org. Larry begins. He calls from his car. Larry, welcome to Issues, etc.
Hi. I have my kids in the valley, up in Palm Springs, and they do come home with alarming stories, but I have them there first because we can't afford to send them to private school, but in part because I do want them to get a world view, but I don't want them to get impacted by it severely. And I guess I've got one leg in both, thoughts. My eighth grader, came home yesterday with a story that resulted in her having to call the principal because his locker mate had left a condom on the teacher's desk and he turned it in, which put this other child in my son's face and he threatened to beat him. So, that's real life. And yet, it is a chance for them to witness. And there's that side of it. And I don't know. But we're called to witness, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. Now, that's been something that's gone through my mind as well. So what do you do? You want your children to grow up in a world where they can understand what it really means, as Christ says, to be in this world, but not of this world. Now, there are two things implied by that statement. That you are actually in the world. That you don't exempt yourself from the world or live in a little Christian ghetto for the rest of your life, hiding away from the reality of the world. But that you are not of that world. Now, Christ seems to posit that we can be both in, but not of, the world. Now, people, Christians, often decry the sad state of our public schools. Some of them speak from experience, like Larry, where, hey, I got my kids in public school. This is the only thing we can afford, and it's not the greatest situation in the world. Some speak from, as I did for so many years, zero experience in the public schools. I simply assumed what they were like, and I talked about it yesterday. I pictured kind of a crustier version of West Side Story, the Sharks and the Jets dueling it out every recess. Now, Larry asked the questions we are supposed to witness, aren't we? Of course. And in order to do that, we actually have to rub shoulders with unbelievers. If Christians do exempt themselves entirely from the public school system, we really got no business complaining about it, do we? If there are no Christians there to light the way or to salt the road, so to speak. It's kind of the point that Dr. Gene Edward Veith makes about higher education. He says, well, when Christians have abandoned their posts where they used to occupy posts in higher education and then turn around and complain about the fact that the Christian worldview isn't represented there, it could have been. Should Christians withdraw from the public school system? I mean, maybe, I think I have actually heard people say, we need to. Let the thing collapse. If all the Christians withdrew from it, it would collapse financially, and then we could start all over again with our brand new utopian school system, whatever it may be. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Is it morally incumbent upon Christians, if they are financially able, to send their kids to private parochial Christian schools? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I do want to come back to the issue of outreach as well, because I got an email from someone, a very thoughtful email, from someone who said, look, Lutheran schools have this advantage, and Christian schools have this advantage. They remain an outreach into the community. And I agree, but I have one question regarding that. Then why do most Lutheran schools charge extra if you're not a member of the church? If the goal is outreach. That is, by the way, a financial disincentive to those who you're trying to reach out to charge them extra for going to your school. Kind of like saying, it would be equivalent in my mind to saying on Sunday morning, all the members get to park up close and all the visitors have to park at the other end of the parking lot. And by the way, we'll charge them for parking too. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Just some things raised by responses from yesterday's open lines as well. Random thoughts, more or less. The Southern Baptist Convention, by the way, passed a resolution very recently, recommended that Baptist parents not send their children to public schools. That was a resolution passed by a 16 million member largest Protestant denomination in the United States. Do you agree? You think they're onto something? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Up next, calling from his car, Ben. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi.
Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Ben, what's your question or comment?
Hello.
Yes, Ben.
Yes. Hey, I don't think it's incumbent that that we do send our kids to Christian school to fulfill the commission to raise them up in the way they should go teach them as they're growing and all that kind of stuff. I think we can do that at home, but I think it has to be probably decided on the individual family and the individual child as to whether or not they, you should send this child or shouldn't. You may want to send one to Christian and one to public, depending on what they want and what their strengths are and how their personalities are and so on and so forth. So
that's a good way of thinking about it. In fact, Ben, that's exactly what we're doing right now. One of our kids, the younger of the two, remains in Christian schools, and I would not have it any other way. And the other, she has gone to the public school. Ben, thank you very much for your call. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Amy calls from St. Louis. Amy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks. I wanted to have a little history of my own. I'm 36, but my mom graduated from the Lutheran school and was shocked when she got to college, she said. So she didn't want that for her kids, so she sent us to public school. To get a worldview. And when I came home one day and said, hey, our science teacher said that creation maybe one day equaled a million years, you know, my eighth grade mind said, why not? Why couldn't one day be a million years? And then my family took me aside and said, no, this is what we believe. So I really think it all comes down to the parents and how they educate their children at home in the Christian belief.
Amy, thank you very much. You may never get a question like that because a fundamental belief like a six-day creation may never get questioned if it were not questioned in the classroom. Dale calls from his car. Dale, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. In reference to the caller just before me, I was a product of Lutheran grade school and went to public high school. And when I got to high school, was overwhelmed by the size, coming from a class of, you know, 30 to a class of over 1,000. So that did overwhelm me a little bit. But I can't say that the public high school was bad because it gave me certain opportunities that weren't available in a Lutheran high school at the time, and we're talking about in the mid-70s. Now, my daughter started out in Lutheran school and then went on to public high school and now into college, and she said being in public school has actually helped her in college. Again, because she was used to the larger classes, the bigger campuses, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you probably, you know, have done the right thing, you know, with your daughter, only because, you know, when she gets into high school and college, being around more kids may help her.
Dale, thank you for the call. Now, you know, the question here about Christians sending their kids to public schools is kind of, if this is the central question. And as I said yesterday, do not interpret the question that I'm asking here, the conversations that ensue from that question, as in any way bashing parochial schools or Christian schools or Lutheran schools for that matter. I still have one of my kids in Lutheran school happily. Happy little guy there. Wouldn't have him anyplace else. My wife teaches there. So still strong supporter of Lutheran schools. The question really is, and this is what came out of yesterday's conversation, and this really the question behind the question, have Christians exaggerated? Have they made public school a convenient kind of cultural whipping boy? Have they exaggerated the problems with public schools in order either to make a cultural point? A lot of conservative evangelicals might, faulting the public schools for not being Christian schools, which doesn't make any sense to me. Or, in order to say, you know, we really want people to support Christian education, and consciously or unconsciously say, well, you know, how bad it is in those public schools. You know how bad it is. That's what I heard for years. That's what I believed for years. And then I run across a public school where all those things that I was told so bad aren't bad. Dave calls from his car. Dave, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, Todd. I basically have one question. I had sent you earlier an email which had to do with a lot of the other things I had in mind, but one thing I didn't ever hear from you is exactly why it was your daughter said she wanted to go to public school.
Not going to tell you. Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
Not going to tell you because it's not at the point. It's not the point. The point is, well, I could tell you at least in general this, and I said this yesterday on the program. As I often put it to people, my daughter will be climbing Mount Everest when she is able to do it because it's there. She's Little Miss Bravery, as I like to refer to her, and lives for the challenge that being a new kid in a big school presents to her. Most kids, I would have been terrified to do this. This was all she wanted to do. That was one of the reasons. But it's really beside the point. In the course of this experience, what I believed about public schools changed. At least the public school I have become involved in. Sandy calls from Alton. Sandy, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Pastor, I don't know, maybe this is a hard line, but to me, if a Christian family parent can manage Christian education, to me it's a no-brainer. The school experience that people have been discussing, of course, you're not through this experience yet with your daughter. I hope and pray that it works well with her, and I'm sure it will. But we're talking a whole different environment. There's been a book written. I haven't read it yet. It's called The Harsh Truth About Public Schools by Bruce Short, and he talks about there's no neutral education, and to place Christian kids in an anti-Christian institution to influence some of their thinking. You know, we're talking bananas on condoms. We're talking mainstreaming antisocial behavior and tolerating it, abuse, verbal abuse of teachers, other students.
You know, this is all the stuff that I believed for years, Sandy, and I have not seen one incident of that yet in the public schools.
Well, I'm sure it's not maybe evident in every school, but there is a philosophy that is anti-Christian in how about these stories that, you know, kids can't even bring a Christmas card to a friend. They're documented. I'm just reporting what I have heard other people experience.
Well, that's
all I can do.
Right, Sandy, and that's precisely the point.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did for years and years, is I heard the stories, I reported them, I believed them. Now, the truth is never furthered by stretching it. Should Christians, who ought to be lovers of the truth, be willing to make a few distinctions and say, rather than the public schools are uniformly bad, which is exactly what the stories in the books generally tend to say, or to say, Christians, be wary because here are the dangers in public schools, which, by the way, are the dangers of society. It's the world they'll be living in as adults. Here are the dangers, and if you're going to send your kid to public school, be wary of these dangers. That's not how I've heard it. What I've heard is they're uniformly bad. It will be knife fights. It will be condoms on bananas. It will be all of this. Now, if that is true, we ought to be burning the places down. If it's untrue, Christians ought to be willing to admit, you know what? It's true here, it's true here, it's true here, but it's not true everywhere. When we come back, more of your phone calls on this subject. Please stay on the line. More open lines when we come back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How can you tell the difference between worship as an encounter with the triune God and worship as mere human manipulation? How can you tell the difference between preaching that is the living voice of Christ to sinners and preaching that is catering to the felt needs of the masses? When did the church begin measuring its success by the market rather than faithfulness to the message of Christ? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for May is called The Fire and the Staff. It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. The book is $26.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the book on the homepage. Or to order, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called The Fire and the Staff by Pastor Clement Preuss, 1-800-325-3040.
The atmosphere, it's designed for radio.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the editors of Creation Magazine.
Well, Ken, you've got me intrigued here. In what way does the Earth's atmosphere help even our radio broadcasts?
Did you know the gospel can now be heard by nearly 6 billion people on shortwave radio? And you know why? Because of a fascinating feature, a layer in our atmosphere called the ionosphere. You see, radio waves travel in straight lines. Now, the reason they can encircle the Earth is because they're reflected to the ground or ocean from the ionosphere, and then from the ground or ocean back to the ionosphere, and so on all around the Earth. You know, as a result of this feature that God's built into the atmosphere, His word can be beamed into countries where the Bible's banned. We've had some of our creation messages broadcast to nations that normally would not be able to hear about the Bible's accuracy. You know what a gracious God we have when you think about it? He knew Adam would sin, and that the wonderful message of creation and the gospel would need to be spread around the world. You know, in His mercy, He provided the means for this when He created the earth and its atmosphere. Yes, God created the earth knowing radio would need the ionosphere.
What can astronomy share with us about God's created universe? It's one of the themes of our brand new booklet entitled Astronomy in the Bible. You'll be encouraged and built up in your faith when you go to our website, AnswersRadio.com, and read the booklet. That's AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. We've all told our children not to talk to strangers. It is good for our children to be cautious in meeting new people. Yet, such a healthy caution can sometimes develop into an irrational fear. According to the American Psychiatric Association, children who watch the most violence in the media frequently begin to view the world as a meaner and more dangerous place than it really is. Some children develop an unrealistic fear of being hurt. This mean world syndrome is especially prevalent with younger children. Teach your young children to be cautious among strangers, but also remind them that God loves them. He sent Jesus to die for them, and He also created a big, beautiful world for them to live in. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
Earlier today in our Bible study program, we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 6 with Pastor Bill Whedon, specifically about the verse that says, "Therefore, come out from them and be separate." I asked Pastor Whedon if this command isn't one of the things that causes hatred toward Christians. If you'd like to hear his answer, tune in tonight to the Bible study repeat, 7:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's open lines. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Either the light is out or I see one free phone line. Let's go back to the phones. Mark calls from Crestwood. Mark, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, I'm a public school teacher. I teach at a middle school, sixth grade, but my wife homeschools our kids, so I'm kind of on both sides of the fence here, as you can see.
Definitely. That would put you in an interesting position. Your thoughts on this?
But I think what you were saying before the break is pretty true about public schools, that they're not all bad. There's a lot of, there's bad stuff going on in some of the public schools, but I've been in a lot of schools, and most of the schools I've been to, they're pretty good. The teachers are pretty good, care about the kids. They're not there to try to, turn your kids into, to corrupt your kids, most of them, so... I think what you were saying was pretty true about that.
And why do you homeschool your kids, Mark?
Well, my wife used to be a teacher, and we just, there is, no matter where you go, you're going to have some bad influences in a public school, and we just felt it was best for our kids. They actually, my two older kids started out in public school, and it wasn't like the school was really bad or anything, but we just felt it was better for them to be at home.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. Let's see what Dan has to say. He's calling from his car. Dan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin.
Hi, Dan.
I teach in a Lutheran school now, and I've taught in a public school before. And I just wanted to say I really love the way you're phrasing the question, because you talk about how maybe Christians have done some demonizing of public schools, making it a whipping boy, per se. And I just want to say that I think you're making an excellent point. I think a lot of times people think, if I put my kid in a Christian school, that takes care of everything. And really what ends up happening a lot is the Lutheran schools aren't that different than the public schools. Now, some of what your caller said is true, but exaggerated in terms of it being kind of a different worldview. But I think overall, I went to a public high school, and it was a good experience for me. Now, I teach in a Lutheran school because I get more freedom there with how I behave, but I think what a lot of Christians do to public schools is really unfair. They kind of paint it with just such a broad brush that it ends up doing more harm than good.
Dan, thank you very much. And what happens when, okay, the books come out, the programs are done, the resolutions are issued by the Southern Baptist Convention, don't send your kid to public school. And, okay, and they hear this message from Christians consistently. The public schools are uniformly bad, without the distinction being made between, you know, there's some really good ones, and then there's some really bad ones, and there are a lot in between. And here's what you need to be wary of, and don't be naive about it. The unbeliever walks into the public school, the good one, and says, I don't know what those Christians are talking about. I do not know what they're talking about. They haven't been, they obviously are speaking from a complete lack of experience, which is exactly what I did for the better part of 40 years. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Don calls from his car. Hi, Don.
Hey, Pastor Todd. How are you today?
Very well.
I think one thing that's being lost in the discussion a little bit is I think we fail to take into account a lot of the experience in high school comes from the other kids in the high school. And we found we have sent our kids through Lutheran school from kindergarten all the way through. We now have a daughter in high school. And one of the issues we're dealing with is she comes home and says, well, I'm going to a Lutheran school, but all these kids are doing all the same bad things that kids do in a public school. What does that tell me about my religious belief, and does it really matter? And it troubles us because our fear is that, you know, that gets viewed as hypocrisy, and she questions whether faith is really significant if the people in her school don't seem to think it's significant enough to act upon it.
Yeah, and there you go with what kind of a witness is being presented, Don. Now, I share that concern, but hypocrisy is not so much my concern as it is what picture of the Christian faith is being presented. And that is the Christian faith being presented as, hey, we can give you Christian values here? Is this all it is, a value system? Is that the real difference here between the much demonized public schools and the much lauded Christian schools? A better value system? Let me just ask this hypothetical. Here's a dream. What if the value system in the public school improved? What if they had a big citizenship movement and the values of the public school went back to what they were in, say, the 40s or the 50s? And they were no longer putting the condoms on the bananas, and they were no longer promoting this and that and the other thing, and they went back to just the good old-fashioned education as it used to be here in the good old U.S. of A. What would we do then? If all Christians have to offer in contrast, that is, we've got better values. Now, if you send your child to a Christian day school, what do you know about? I'm not bashing Christian day schools. I'm asking a question that you should be asking. What do you know about the religion curriculum? What they're really being taught? Do you just assume that what's being taught is, let's say you're a Catholic. Say you're a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Lutheran. As I said before, I'm the product of Lutheran schools from beginning to end, and had more than one teacher openly in the classroom, when talking about matters of religion, say, one teacher said, we were going through the creed, the Apostles' Creed, said, well, I say that part, but I don't believe it. Now, this is a teacher who, by the way, had tremendous influence on me. I admired him greatly. And when I heard him say, I say that part, but I don't believe it, you know, at that tender age, I was kind of tempted to say, well, if teacher says he doesn't believe this part of the creed, maybe it's not worth believing. Another teacher, again, this was a Lutheran school, openly questioned what it is Scripture teaches about the Lord's Supper. Now, those are two isolated examples, granted, but it does raise that question. And look, whether you're for or against Christian day school, shouldn't you at least ask the question, what are they teaching my kids when it comes to the Christianity part? And I really don't think it's good enough to say, well, gee, aren't all the teachers at our Catholic school Catholic, or aren't all the teachers at our Presbyterian school Presbyterian, aren't all the teachers at our Lutheran school Lutheran? The guy who said that part of the creed but didn't believe it, he was qualified, he was certified, he graduated from all the right schools. He was a Lutheran school teacher. Greg calls from his car. Greg, welcome to Issues, etc.
Hi. I'm 23, my wife's the same age. We both went to St. Louis Public Schools. She went to a Lutheran school in South St. Louis. And I hear horror stories from her on the kids that were there. I realize it's probably not that way now, but I had a fairly good time in high school, very little issues. And she was eaten alive by other kids. She's a twin. And I don't know, just because it's a Lutheran school or religious school is absolutely, there's no guarantee of anything at all. That means it's going to be better as far as how the kids are treated. She did not have a good experience. In fact, she doesn't go to the reunions. It just amazes me how bad a time she had compared to what I had. And I had been hearing, oh, St. Louis Public Schools, oh, they're terrible. And maybe they are now, but at the time they were fine. Anyway, I just wanted your thoughts on it.
All right, Greg, thank you very much. Well, without getting too much into anyone's individual experience, look, the question needs to be asked. We would very willingly ask this question if we were to send our kid to a public school. What are they teaching my kid? I am keenly interested in this every afternoon. How was school? What did you learn? I'm not asking her because I'm that interested in her state of knowledge at this point, although I am. I'm asking that because I want to know what they're teaching. And I think the same questions ought to be asked with your kids in a Christian school. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. 15 minutes left in this hour and in the program today. Let's talk with Bill, who calls from his car. Hi, Bill.
Yes. This discussion here, I've been kind of watching the school system for some time, over a period of years, and the quality in that, going way back, there were three schools, the Roman Catholic, the public, and the Lutheran. And the Lutheran was generally better than the public, and the public was better than the Roman Catholic. And over the years, on an average, that has continued to be the same. However, from my perspective, experience in the various schools, the overall quality of those three have been gradually deteriorating, getting worse. So I don't know how that fits in this description. But then this other thing has popped up called homeschooling. And I don't have the experience with that, except from a very different perspective. When school groups go to places like the zoo or Missouri Botanical Garden or the Arch or the Science Center or something like that, as a school group, as soon as they come in, the people, the gallery assistants or whoever it is for the institution that is with them, can immediately tell either they're homeschooled or they're all the others. And what the difference is, the homeschoolers have two characteristics that set them apart from all the others. One, they're better behaved. They're more polite, more better behaved. The second thing is their questions and analysis or whatever of wherever they are is just has much more perspective and depth than those coming from the other three types of schools.
Bill, thanks for the call, Bill. And, you know, we've heard this one, too, about homeschooling. The kids turn out brighter and smarter, more ready for secondary education or higher education. I have no reason to doubt that. I'm no expert on that. You know, there are those who would say, Wilkin, your whole question is moot. Public schools, never. Christian schools, no. Homeschools, the only way to go. They would. And it may be an issue of, I got to control exactly what my kid is being taught. Or it may be an issue of, well, as Bill pointed out, generally speaking, the level of education has been dropping. And they want to somehow work against that. Linda calls from St. Charles. Hi, Linda.
I have three children, and they're all grown, and they all went through from preschool through high school at the Lutheran school. I have one daughter who went to Concordia, and she's now teaching at the same school that she went to in elementary school. You know, there's good, bad schools, and no matter what, Lutheran schools, public schools, whatever. There's bad homeschoolers, too, because I know of experience with one of those. But the thing that the public school cannot teach that is the most important thing to me is my God, you know, Christ and Him crucified. When things go wrong, they have Him to choose, you know, to turn to. Public schools cannot do that legally. With this public school thing, with taking the Lord's Prayer out of the public school, I don't want it back in there because you never know what you're going to get anymore. But at my school, I know what my kids are getting. And you take God away. I had a son who went to Kuwait. And he was in Iraq a couple of times, but you know, he just grew it. I mean, he was founded in the Lord because he had it at home, he had it at school. And yeah, there are kids out there. He got in trouble when he was in high school. There are kids out there, and they're just like your daughter. They want to experiment. Well, they do. And no matter where they are, but you know, when you have that school back behind you, along with you at home, it's a much better foundation than just, you know, because how many times, you know, like even with getting a helmet on a kid's head, you know, I wish we had a law to make kids wear a helmet because they don't want to listen to their parents. But when they get it coming from school, and I just think it's the best thing.
Well, and in the best of all possible worlds, Linda, and thank you very much for the call. Can't disagree with anything you said there at all. Cannot disagree with it at all. In the best of all possible worlds, in the Christian day school, that would be it. It wouldn't be, hey, we've got better values. It would be, we have a Savior. And the Savior is woven into everything we teach. Now, that's the claim of every Christian school, isn't it? We're Christ-centered. And most of the time, that means we have rules. Stricter rules than the rest of the schools. And to those schools that do genuinely have a Christ-centered, cross-focused way of teaching and curriculum, that is marvelous, although you cannot assume that is the case. Just because there's a cross in the logo, you cannot assume that is the case. You really ought to know as a parent. And I think you're right, Linda, to point out that this is primarily parents reinforced by the school, rather than primarily school reinforced, or maybe not, by the parents. David calls from Plymouth, Pennsylvania. He listens on the Internet. Hi, David.
Yes, thank you very much. Just from a perspective, I'm from Denver originally, and private school educated. I have four children, which I homeschool. But I also had a pastor friend who sent all three of his children. They went to public school. It happened to be one of the most dangerous high schools in the city of Denver. And they seemed to turn out not only fine, they got a very good education and excelled later on. I think the bottom line is, with me, with public school education, isn't necessarily the morality of it all. It's really the quality of education that they're getting or how they're being taught. I find the reason I'm home educating my children is because that what they really need is their education supplemented in a better way in which I can supplement. So I won't really find anything morally against public education because that's what I teach them. That's what the church teaches them.
Hey, David, before I let you go, what does it sound like to you when you hear the constant alarm bells being rung by Christians regarding public school and the picture that is often painted, which is, these are places that no right-thinking person, much less Christian, would ever want to send their kids for any reason.
Well, it just sounds to me that people want to close the gate, want to close the Christians all in the gate, and take the light right out of the world is what it sounds like to me. I think it really is the parents' individual decision in this case.
David, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening in Pennsylvania, by the way. Always good to hear from our internet listeners as well. Vicki calls from her car. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. I have a couple of comments. When I sent my kids to public school because it was a lot easier to get them to at the time. And I went to Lutheran grade school and high school, and I know that things happen in both schools. I mean, bad things, good things, you name it, it happens in both. And the one thing that I know my kids probably have missed out is, like the other caller had said, is that the things that you learn about Christ and memory work that they'll never have. And I didn't really get that at the time. But also, there are Lutheran teachers and other Lutherans and other Christians teaching in public schools who are also just as fine of teachers anywhere. And when I hear those comments, those public school kids at my, Bible classes, I stop them in their tracks because it's not fair. It's not right to group kids that go to public schools all in one bad lump sum. And as far as your comment about what the teachers are teaching at the Lutheran grade schools and high schools, I went to a high school in the 70s when Seminex was at its highest. So I got both sides of it. And it's up to us to decide who teaches and try and determine that maybe at any of these schools.
Vicki, thank you very much. I think that was the genesis of the experience I had with the teacher who said, I say that part of the creed, but I don't believe it. He was kind of along with the whole, at the time, the viewpoint that had prevailed for some decades in our church, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, that God's word is, well, take it or leave it kind of a thing. Cindy calls from South County. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Schools were started, at the founding of our country by Christians. They weren't necessarily always Christian schools, and we've kind of left our post as Christians. I know that I did all kinds of battle when my kids were in school. I did all three. I did private school, public school, and I homeschooled. So I can look at it from a lot of different perspectives. But you have got to stick in there with when you have a kid in public school. You've got to know what's going on. You have to question your child if you hear something that sits sideways in you. You have to talk to them, and then you have to go to school and talk to the people who are teaching them. And you should never let up on it. No matter what your kids are involved in, you stick with it.
Cindy, I like the way you think, and I think it applies not only to parents who have their kids in public schools, and it should apply also to parents who have their kids in Christian schools. The same kind of attentiveness. That's the one thing. I ask myself, why wasn't I as attentive when my kid was in a Christian school as I am now that she's in a public school? I should have been. I should have been. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, hi, Pastor.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. We're evangelicals, and we send our kids to public school. The one thing that we really resent is the thing we call Christian arrogance, where people down on us and saying, what's wrong with you for sending your kids to public school? We live our family by the Word, and the Word says, be in the world, but be not of the world. And I think that my kids have been benefited by not being afraid of what's out there in the world, by being in the world. I think that my kids have gotten a taste of some people that are what we call Christian arrogance, and they feel that many of the people going to Christian schools or homeschools are actually running away from the world and are afraid of things rather than being able to face them.
Bob, thank you very much. And thanks for calling. The That's what I was trying to communicate in the story at the beginning here. It wasn't just a preconceived notion. There had been a fear instilled in me. Now think about this for a moment. The last place I wanted to be was in a public school. And part of the reason was, well, you know, that Christian school for me as a kid was a very safe place to be. Now, there's an age at which you want to maintain that with your kids. Don't get me wrong. But you know, when I got into high school, it was still a safe place. Maybe, in many ways, I believed it to be safer than it really was, which is probably why I got in the kind of trouble I did when I was in high school. I believed it to be safer than it really was. I mean, after all, I'm not going to a public school, am I? This is a Christian school, isn't it? Okay, two final thoughts here before we wind up. One, as I said before, the truth is never furthered by stretching it. You know, Christian education is a good thing. It doesn't have to have a wicked, demonic public school system out there lurking in the shadows to make it a good thing. The public schools don't necessarily have to be bad for Christian schools to be good. So let's dispense with that little myth altogether. And if you're sending your kid to a Christian school, God bless you. I am very glad you're doing it. Very glad you're doing it. But don't let sending your kid to a Christian school allow you to shirk your responsibility as the one to whom God has given the primary responsibility for bringing up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, you can't go walking into the classroom, but you can ask your kid. Think of it as if they were going to public school. What did you learn today? What did your teacher teach you in religion class? Now, I can, without a doubt, tell you that there's a truly Christ-centered, cross-focused school. For those studying for the pastoral ministry, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, it's not a place where they go to be safe and remain safe, but where they go to be sent out into the world with the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, if you or someone you know is considering entering the pastoral ministry, call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Kramer Chapel there on the homepage. If you click on that, you'll get more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking to Rebecca Hagelin, she's author of this book, Home Invasion. We'll talk about how you raise families in a culture that has gone stark raving mad.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.